Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, the Hamsaguya Prayers, Text 29. Yad Yan Niruktam. Yad Yan Niruktam Vachasa Nirupitam. Diaksha Birva Manasota Yasya. Mabut Svarupam Gunarupa Hitatat. Savai Gunapyai. Savai Gunapaya Visarga Lakshanaha. Yadyam. Expressed. Vachasa. By words. Nirupitam. Ascertained. Dhyā, by so-called meditation or intelligence. Akshadihi, by the senses. Vā, or manasā, by the mind. Uta, certainly. Yasya, of whom. Mabhut, may not be. Swarupam, the actual form of the Lord. Gunarupam, consisting of the three qualities. He, indeed. Tat tat, that. Saha, that supreme personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. Anything expressed by material vibrations. Anything ascertained by material intelligence. And anything experienced by the material senses. Or concocted within the material mind is but an effect of the modes of material nature and therefore has nothing to do with the real nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is beyond the creation of this material world, for He is the source of the material qualities and creation. As the cause of all causes, He exists before the creation and after the creation. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Report. One who manufactures names, forms, qualities, or paraphernalia of pertaining to the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot understand Him, since He is beyond creation. The Supreme Lord is the creator of everything, and this means that He existed when there was no creation. In other words, His name, form, and qualities are not materially created entities. They are transcendental always. Therefore, by our material concoctions, vibrations, and thoughts, we cannot ascertain the Supreme Lord. This is explained in the verse Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavad Grayam Indriyai. Prachetasa Daksha herein offers prayers unto the transcendence, not to anyone within the material creation. Only fools and rascals think God a material creation. This is confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 11. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanam ashritaha ashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Quote, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. Therefore, one must receive knowledge from a person to whom the Lord has revealed himself. There is no value in creating an imaginary name or form for the Lord. Sripad Sankaracharya was an impersonalist, but nevertheless, he said, Narayana paravyaktat. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is not a person of the material world. We cannot assign Narayan a material designation, as the foolish attempt to do when they speak of Daridra Narayan, poor Narayan. Narayan is always transcendental, beyond this material creation. How can he become Daridra Narayan? Poverty is found within this material world, but in the spiritual world, there is no such thing as poverty. Therefore, the idea of Daridra Narayan is merely a concoction. Daksha very carefully points out that material designations cannot be names of the worshipable Lord. Yadhyan niruptam vachasa nirupitam. Nirupta refers to the Vedic dictionary. One cannot properly understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead merely by picking up expressions from a dictionary. In praying to the Lord, Daksha does not wish material names and forms to be the objects of his worship. Rather, he wants to worship the Lord who existed before the creation of material dictionaries and names. As confirmed in the Vedas, yato vacho nirvartante aprapya manasa saha. The name, form, attributes, and paraphernalia of the Lord cannot be ascertained through a material dictionary. However, if one reaches the transcendental platform of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes well acquainted with everything, material and spiritual. This is confirmed in another Vedic mantra, Tam eva vidivati mrityum eti. If one can somehow or other, by the grace of the Lord, understand the transcendental position of the Lord, one becomes eternal. This is further confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 9. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chakva deham punar janma naiti mameti sarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Simply by understanding the Supreme Lord, one goes beyond birth, death, old age, and disease. Srila Shukadeva Goswami therefore advised Maharaj Parikshit in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 5, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyas Chechtata Bayam. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. The verse again. Anything expressed by material vibrations, anything ascertained by material intelligence, and anything experienced by material senses or concocted within the material mind is but an effect of the modes of material nature, and therefore has nothing to do with the real nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Supreme Lord is beyond the creation of this material world, for he is the source of all material qualities and creation. As the cause of all causes, he exists before the creation and after the creation. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. One name for Krishna is Adhoksaja. So in this verse, Aksha is mentioned as a Sanskrit name for the senses. So Adhoksaja means beyond the senses. So if Krishna is beyond the senses, then how are we to know him? As mentioned in this verse, it can't be by any act of our material intelligence. It cannot be by any material object perceived by our material senses. It cannot be any concoction of our material speculative mind. We can only know Krishna by the means that he himself gives. Golokera Prema Dana Harinama Sankirtana. So this chanting of the holy names of the Lord is not a phenomenon of this material world. It is something that is coming, you know, from Goloka. And actually that is where we are meant to be. We're meant to be there. This material world is created by Krishna only because some souls are not fit to be participants in his nitya lila, his eternal pastimes. Yeah, they are keeping themselves away from Krishna because of their desire to enjoy separately from him. So therefore, Krishna has provided this place, these material bodies. The spiritual body, the Swarupa, is good for only one thing. It can only serve Krishna with love and devotion. It doesn't do anything else. So, if we're not going to serve Krishna with love and devotion in the spiritual world, then Krishna has to give us some other kind of body so that we can try to enjoy ourselves separately from him. Of course, it's interesting. We are really not these bodies. So, you know, Krishna gives us a form, you know, composed of the material elements, but we're not that form. So what to do? Krishna creates ahankara, false ego, so that we falsely identify with this temporary material body. And then when we falsely identify with it, you know, we try to use it to enjoy ourselves separately from Krishna in this material world. Of course, it has to be the material world, because in the spiritual world, there's only one thing that goes on: transcendental loving service to Krishna. Nothing else is happening there. So if we want to enjoy ourselves separately from Krishna, Krishna has to give us not only a material body and give us a false ego that causes us to identify with it, he also has to give us a field for action separately from him. And that is this material world. So here we are, you know, attempting to enjoy ourselves separately from Krishna in this material world, in our false, in our, well, not false, but temporary material bodies. Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhogavanchakare Nikatashtamaya Tare Japati Adare. So Krishna Bahir Mukha, we turned our face from Krishna. Why? Bhogavanchakare, because we want to enjoy separately from him. And then Nikatashtamaya, as soon as we turn from Krishna, Maya is there to give us a material body, to give us a material field of activities in which to act. So then what is the hope then for coming back to our original consciousness, Krishna consciousness? The only hope is coming from Krishna himself. Because although we try to forget Krishna, Krishna never forgets us. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesh arjuna tishtate. He's in the heart. Krishna's in the heart as the super soul. So he never forgets us. And he is always trying to give us the opportunity to remember him. So how does he do that? Well, he does it by importing into this world of material sense objects, spiritual sense objects from the transcendental level of existence. So, Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. There's the sound of the holy name, Krishna's name. But Krishna's name is non-different from Krishna. It is not a material sound vibration. So we may be listening to so many material sounds, but then, at least for us, you know, who were born in the West, you know, we were listening to so many material sounds, and then one day this sound came, Hare Krishna, chink, 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it may have sounded just like some sound produced within this material world, but it's really not. Because Krishna's name is non-different from him. It contains, as Lord Chaitanya says in his Shikshastika, all his transcendental potencies, Nija Sarva Shaktish, all the transcendental potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are concentrated in the sound of his name. And then Krishna also appears in the form of the deity. And the deity is also not different from Krishna. It appears to be like something that is very much like anything else, you know, that we see in this world. And we see so many things. But the form of Krishna is different. It's transcendental. Then Krishna appears in the form of his prasada. Out in the world, there are so many foodstuffs that people are tasting, you know, with their tongue, trying to get some material satisfaction from all of these tastes. And it may appear on a superficial level that, oh, this prasadam, it's just one more taste. But it's not. It is a spiritual taste, because the prasadam of the Lord is also non-different from the Lord. Then Krishna also appears in the form of the Vedic literature, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, the literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, superficially, it may appear, it's like some other book. There are so many books of philosophy. So many philosophers have concocted, you know, so many ideas. So many histories have been written. So many novels and fictions have been written. All concoctions things that simply agitate the material mind. And it may appear at first that when someone picks up, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam, well, it's the same. There's so many books. This is one more book, some thoughts written by somebody. But it's not. It's the literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. The Lord also sends to this world his representatives, his pure devotees, who come to teach about him. And on a superficial level, it may seem, oh, well, there's so many teachers and philosophers in this world, so many so-called swamis and gurus who are inventing this method and that method of self-realization, and it may appear at first that, oh, it's just one more teacher who has his own idea about life, you know, about God. So many people are speaking about these things. But, you know, the Vaishnava Acharya is something different. It's also is Shakshat Hari Tvena Samasta Shastra. Not different from Krishna in the sense that the Vaishnava Acharya is Krishna's confidential servant. And then Krishna also manifests his mercy in the form of his service. Yeah, we may come to a temple, an ISKCON temple, for the first time, and someone may ask, oh, could you sweep the floor? They go, yeah, I can sweep the floor, sure. We do so many things. There's so many activities going on in this world. But the activities of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are of a different nature. They are transcendental, beyond this world of birth and death. And sometimes Krishna comes himself in the form of Lord Chaitanya 5,000 years ago as Krishna. So, these are our lifelines, these transcendental sense objects that Krishna has injected into this material world. I mean, sometimes this material world is compared to a virtual reality. You know, just like you can go, you know, with computers, you can create some virtual reality system where everything is artificially created. And you may even get lost in it. And just like there's so many of these computer clubs, you know, I've seen them all over the world. You know, sometimes I have to go to some computer club, you know, to do my email. And they're usually dark places, very dark, with lots of computers, with lots of teenagers looking at these artificial realities, you know, created by these computer games. And they're just totally absorbed in these computer games, which are artificial realities, virtual realities. And I was thinking, well, what if there was some system, you know, that their mother, you know, that the mother's wondering where the child is, it's time to come home, time to eat. You know, maybe there could be some system where, you know, the mother could dial up and put her image right into the game, say, come home. And so that's what Krishna's doing. We're kind of lost in this computer game of the material world. You know, we're playing the game, we're trying to win, we're trying to... And we've forgotten what our real business is, what our real home is. So Krishna is injecting himself and all of these transcendental sense objects into this virtual reality in which we've lost ourselves. Of course, it's not a pleasant place in which we find ourselves. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. And we're trying to be happy here, but mostly we're experiencing frustration and misery of various kinds. And eventually, you know, we have to confront the ultimate misery of death and rebirth. So what is our hope, you know, for deliverance, you know, from this? Krishna is injecting these transcendental sense objects that exist before the creation, after the creation. He's putting them into this world. So if somehow or other, you know, we become attracted to these transcendental sense objects and transcendental activities, then gradually we begin to wake up to our real spiritual identity. Jivara Sarupahoy Krishnara Nityadas. Of course, Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, who have this idea, I am God. So somebody recently told me a story. Said once, some Mayavadi sannyasi came to some village. And, yeah, there was a nice man. He didn't really understand philosophy so much, but he understood here's some sannyasi, so he gave some service to him. So then the Mayavadi sannyasi said, oh, you served me very nicely, so I'm going to give you a mantra, and I want you to chant it every day. Yeah, so the man said, oh, you know, thank you, Maharaj. What is the mantra? And the Mayavadi sannyasi said, Soham, I am God. And then he left. And so the man, every day, he was chanting his mantra, Soham, Soham, Soham. And then another sannyasi came to the village, but he had a different kind of stick with a little curve on it and three sticks. His Vaishnava sannyasi came to the village. And so the man thought, oh, another sannyasi, I'll serve him too. So he served, you know, very nicely. And then the sannyasi said, oh, you've served very nicely, I want to give you a mantra. And the man said, oh, well, Maharaj, there was another sannyasi who came, he already gave me a mantra. And the Vaishnava sannyasi said, what was that? What was that mantra? The man said, Soham. The Vaishnava sannyasi said, oh, it's not a very good mantra. But I can fix it for you. I can fix it. You chant your mantra, but before you chant your mantra, you say, da. Dasoham. I am the servant of God. So, you know, the man began chanting, you know, this mantra, Dasoham, Dasoham. Then again, the Mayavadi sannyasi came. And he asked him, are you chanting your mantra? And he said, well, Maharaj, this other sannyasi came, and he he said the mantra needed to be fixed. So now I'm chanting another mantra. So the Mayavadi Sannyasi asked him, what mantra are you chanting now? He said, Dasoham. And Mayavadi Sannyasi said, no, that's not right. But I can fix it for you. You just chant, before you chant that mantra, you chant Sa. So he began chanting, Sadasoham. You know, I am always God. And then later, the Vaishnava Sannyasi came again, saw the man, said, oh, are you chanting your mantra? And he said, no, the other sannyasi came and he changed it. He said, what are you chanting now? Sadasoham. Vaishnava Sannyasi said, no. You don't chant that. That's wrong. I'll fix it for you. Before you chant that, you say da. Daso, daso, hum. Servant of the servant of the servant. But anyways, we shouldn't be like that man, you know, constantly changing. We should understand, you know, what the real philosophy is and just say, next time the Mayavadi Sannyasi comes and tries to change the mantra, say no. You know, I'm sticking with the Vaishnava mantra. So does anybody have any question or comment? We should take advantage of these transcendental sense objects. If we absorb ourselves 100% in always seeing Krishna, tasting Krishna's prasadam, hearing Krishna's philosophy, hearing Krishna's name, engage always in Krishna's service, then we are on the transcendental level. Even in this material world, we are on the transcendental level. So we always have the choices. You know, am I going to think about Krishna or think about something else? Think about Krishna's service, engage in Krishna's service, or do something else? See Krishna's form, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's temple, or see something else. Hear Krishna's name, Krishna's philosophy, or hear something else. So, if we're always absorbed in these transcendental sense objects and activities that Krishna so mercifully puts into this material world, then we become Krishna conscious in this life, and then we can go, you know, back home, back to Godhead, and be, you know, eternally part of, you know, Krishna's pastimes. So, does anybody have any comment, question? Yes.
It may not be directly related to the class, but generally when we preach, you know, the doubts come in people's mind as to how these, birds and bears and monkeys, they can have, you know, the talking abilities. They talk like human beings. They get married. They have brotherly relationships like Jatayu and, you know, his brother Sampati. And we have monkeys like Hanuman and bears like Jamvant, and these people are, you know, having discussions, intelligent discussions, families, wives, co-wives, and, you know, and they're having conflicts, and they fight like human beings. And how do we explain that? What kind of species they were? Were they the...
Well, they weren't, the Vanaras were not ordinary monkeys. They had mystic powers. You know, Hanuman could appear, disappear, become very big, very small, jump from, you know, from India to Lanka, 100 yojanas. So obviously, these were not ordinary monkeys of, you know, the kind, you know, that we may see in the zoo today. You know, Hanuman you cannot put in a zoo. he would break out. So these weren't ordinary animals. But even the ordinary animals, they have their social life, they have their way of speaking. And it said that Krishna, you know, one of Krishna's qualities, that he knows how to, you know, speak to even, you know, animals, birds, things like that. He knows their language, how to communicate with them. And we even see their people. Some people, they have very good communication with, you know, animals and birds and things like that. Actually, I was at one science conference, and they were speaking about this parrot in New York City that can speak hundreds of words. You know, it's not just imitating. They were doing experiments to show that this parrot, which can speak thousands and thousands of words, is like really speaking. You know, not just imitating. So even ordinary, you know, animals, you know, they have some ability to communicate because they're spirit souls. And these are natural qualities of the spirit soul. But according to the body that they're in, they're able to manifest their abilities to greater or lesser degrees in this world, just like a human being, you could take a person, he can ride on a bicycle, a motorbike, a small car, a big car, a truck, a submarine, an airplane, a spaceship. It's the same person, but according to the body that it's in, it can do more or less. So, you know, the soul has its natural ability to communicate. The soul is by nature social. But in the different forms of life, the abilities are manifest to a greater or lesser degree. And, you know, like the parrots in Vrindavan, they're not like, you know, the sukhas and the saris. They're not like ordinary birds. They're great devotees of the Lord, so they carry messages back and forth, report different things to Krishna, to Radharani, the gopis, the cowherd boys. They're obviously not ordinary types of birds. Something else?
Right. Prabhuji, in the schools, there is so much emphasis is given on the scientific things from childhood. So naturally, children develop faith in all that. And one of the way in preaching, like yesterday also you were saying, that we try to find out what are the loopholes in the science and try to destroy their faith in science. That's like one of the way it can be done.
Destroy their faith in the wrong conclusions.
Wrong conclusions.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I had this thing. One thing is destroying their faith in wrong conclusion, and second thing is
establishing
faith in the spiritual conclusions.
Yes.
So, because there's many things in the spirituality and the Bhagavatam, like for a common man, even if he's not having too much faith in science, find very difficult like that. So what are the things we have to do to increase their faith in the spiritual conclusions? Like one thing, we can take out some things to say wrong for the material conclusions, scientific conclusions, but to give them more faith in spiritual conclusions, what are the things would you like to recommend from your... Because ultimately they have to develop faith here.
Yes. You can give them prasadam. That creates faith. And just the personality of the devotee creates faith. They say, who is this? Yeah, he was a student. I knew him. Now he's chanting Hare Krishna. What's going on? So, but you're raising a very important point that it's the reason why, you know, like Srila Prabhupada wrote, you know, his Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's very important that these ideas, you know, be changed. You know, and Srila Prabhupada wrote a preface to Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the preface, an author explains why he's writing the book. What is his intent? What is his purpose? So this work of trying to change these wrong ideas and establish the right ideas, however we do it, is our business. Like Srila Prabhupada says in this preface here, he says, we must know the present need of human society. We have to see what the idea is. So he said, people feel a need to come up with a proper philosophy of life. And he says, Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need. He says, human society is making advancement materially, but still there are so many problems, so many wars, so many conflicts, you know, so much environmental destruction. So he says, there is a need of a clue as to how humanity can become one in peace, friendship, and prosperity. So today, is humanity one in peace, friendship, and prosperity? No. The world is divided into different camps, you know, based on politics, economics, religion. So it's not one human, happy human population. Are they in peace? No. How many wars are going on today? How many social conflicts? Is humanity peaceful today? No. Is humanity prosperous? I mean, not just a few people or one class of people, but are all people in this world having a sense of peace and prosperity and friendship? No. I mean, maybe some segment of the population is feeling prosperous, but they don't feel very well because there's no peace. So there's still, I mean, Srila Prabhupada wrote this decades ago, but the problem is still there, and that means the solution is still required. So he says, Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need, for it is a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of the entire human society. And in particular, I mean, this is very important because I was seeing, you know, the wonderful work, you know, the devotees here are doing and making Krishna conscious organizations at the colleges and universities for the students. But it says Srimad Bhagavatam should be introduced also in the schools and the colleges. So that requires this kind of thinking, you know, how to make, you know, the Bhagavatam philosophy accessible to the students and the teachers who may now have other ideas, other wrong ideas about life and the universe. So Srila Prabhupada explains, disparity in human society is due to a lack of principles in a godless civilization. So in the schools and universities, generally they're presenting things in a godless way. They want to keep God and spiritual principles out. So yes, you know, if out in the street you want to believe in some sentimental way in your religion, fine. But here, the real truth, you're going to learn in another way, they say. So, but Prabhupada says, there is God, or the Almighty One, from whom everything emanates, by whom everything is maintained, and in whom everything is merged to rest. And he says, material science has tried to find the ultimate source of creation very insufficiently. But it is a fact. There is one ultimate source of everything that be, and that ultimate source is explained rationally and authoritatively in the beautiful Bhagavatam or Srimad Bhagavatam. So he says it's authoritative. We accept it as authority because it's coming from the supreme authority, Krishna. But he also says it's rational, which means it can be explained to people. I mean, eventually they'll come to accept it also as authoritative. But in the beginning, it has to be explained rationally, logically. And Srila Prabhupada was constantly training, you know, his leading disciples how to do that. So then he goes on to say, Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental science not only for knowing the ultimate source of everything, but also for knowing our relationship with him and our duty toward perfection of the human society on the basis of this knowledge. So it's not that, you know, we are just concerned with knowing in some abstract way what Krishna is. We want to know what it is practically that each of us individually must be doing in this world. And not only that, not just that we're concerned about our own individual welfare or the welfare of our own little group in this temple or what. No, Srila Prabhupada says we must know our duty toward perfection of the entire human society on the basis of this perfect knowledge. So that means, you know, society is being guided, you know, by those who are graduating, you know, from these universities and colleges. So that means if we're going to change the way that they're guiding the human society, we have to change what they're learning. So, about this Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says, it is powerful reading matter in the Sanskrit language. And now he's made it available in English and other languages as well. And he said, it is so powerful that simply by a careful reading, one will know God perfectly well, so much so that the reader will be sufficiently educated to defend himself from the onslaught of atheists. So this is one result of carefully studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. We will be prepared to defend ourselves from the onslaught of the atheists. What does that onslaught of the atheists mean? It means all their materialistic, atheistic, scientific theories, which are misguiding and misleading the entire human civilization today, causing people to lose the chance that they have to go back home, back to Godhead. Over and above this, the reader will be able to convert others to accepting God as a concrete principle, which is what you're saying. Not only show the wrong ideas, but if we carefully study this philosophy, and there are devotees like, you know, Burijan Prabhu and Jagatarini who are making courses, you know, for the systematic study of, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have other educators like Lakshmi Moni Prabhu here and her helper. I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Yes. But, you know, they've also been involved in this education process. So what should the result of the education process be? That we learn how to defend ourselves from the onslaught of the atheist, and we learn how to convert others to accepting, you know, God as Krishna as a concrete principle for guiding our lives individually and collectively. So, how we do that, of course, in many different ways. I'm trying in my way, and you're seeing that. Others are making their efforts as well. So that's the business, you know, of, you know, this, you know, Krishna consciousness movement. So I think it's time to end the class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.